neck.
Those pups don't sound silly.
Quote, unquote. We present a new quotation quiz based on well-known sayings and some which haven't been said yet. It's devised and introduced by Nigel Rees.
Hello to you. Well, eating whole dictionaries of quotations for breakfast in readiness for the quiz this week has been a very high-powered panel indeed. Writer and journalist Richard Boston, film and television producer Ned Sherrin, physician and journalist Miriam Stoppard, and her husband, one of our most successful playwrights, Tom Stoppard. Right, let's begin with an absolutely straightforward and simple first round. And these are famous first words. And as the people who said them, unfortunately, couldn't be with us today, Ronald Fletcher is sitting beside me, ready to quote them. Richard Boston, whose famous first words were these?
I will be good.
Richard.
I will be good. That is a good question, isn't it? Sounds familiar. It was me.
Well, I'm afraid you're wrong there, Richard. I can offer it to the others, do you know?
Was it Queen Victoria on her accession?
It was indeed. I think I'll give you 2 marks for that, Ned
Sherrin. I watch ATV.
Ah. Queen Victoria, her first words on ascending to the throne in 1837. Have you any idea what she might have said?
I think I'm going to reign.
Well, Ned Sherrin, this one is for you, and here these first words are as actually spoken.
One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Well, it was that astronaut. I can never remember them. They all merge, those names. I get a half a point for getting an astronaut.
I don't think you do.
But I can't remember. Well, what's in a name?
Ned, can you tell me what year it was?
Well, it was a few years ago.
Could you be a little more precise?
No, it was either late 60s or early 70s.
Does anybody else know?
69.
69, so I'm absolutely
late
right.
Late 60s, yes.
I think, Ned, I'll just give you one mark.
Very good. I accept that.
And what was his name?
His name was Neil Armstrong, the first man on the moon. Miriam Stoppard, for you, a very difficult one, I'm afraid. These are supposed to be literally the first words of a very well-known saint as he leapt from his mother's womb. Here they are sung, and this may help you, in a musical work by Benjamin Britten. Well, they were very brief, but the person in question said, God be glorified as he leapt from his mother's womb.
St. Thomas Aquinas.
No, I don't think you're going to get this, as they say, so I'll offer it to the others. Anybody know?
No idea.
Benjamin Britten.
Not Benjamin Britten.
St. Peter.
No, I'll have to tell you, it was St. Nicholas. Finally, Tom Stoppard, because this is a family show, I can't give you the next quotation in full, but whose first words were these after he'd accomplished another first?
We knocked the... off.
What was the second word?
Knocked.
Knocked. Oh, that was somebody who climbed Everest.
Yes.
It was, in fact, Hillary.
Yes.
And he said, we knocked the bleep bleep off.
Absolutely right. I have here some fragments of well-known sayings. Perhaps you'd be so kind as to guess what they're referring to. Richard Boston, what was Punch advising you about when, on page 1 of volume 8 in 1845, it said,
don't?
This was the advice given to a young man contemplating marriage?
Absolutely right. 2 marks. Let's share one for you now. What had Lord Longford got in mind when he said,
it trembles on the brink of obscenity?
It's not Fiona Richmond, is it? Not Paul Raymond, either. I have no idea what he was referring to.
In fact, he was referring to the press. I think he was asked if the press was obscene, and he said, no, it's not obscene, it trembles on the brink of obscenity. Miriam, of what, according to the 18th century Earl of Chesterfield, is...
The pleasure momentary, the position ridiculous, and the expense damnable.
Well, we're not allowed to mention sex on this programme, are we?
Absolutely right. We've got not too much.
I think are we allowed to mention anything else on this program?
Tom, somebody said that something was...
So precious that it must be rationed.
Sex again? no, in fact, this was said about liberty.
Yes.
Was it not?
Absolutely right.
And must be Lenin.
Yes, it is. Well, Lenin. Lenin said that liberty is so precious that it must be rationed. Richard Boston, what is worth... Richard Boston, what is...
I'm still here.
I'll tell you, I'll do yours. Richard Boston, what is... worth seeing, yes, but not worth going to see.
Well, it's obviously not one of Tom's plays. No, it's not. I'm sorry. I've got so caught up in the double negatives.
No, I'm blue.
All right, Miriam, you can.
Well, now that you've said it, I don't think I've got it right. But I was thinking of the Niagara Falls.
Yes, but who said it?
Well, it's Livingstone. No, that's wrong.
No, you're not going to get this. It was Dr. Johnson. Do you know what he was
about the Highlands?
No, it wasn't about the house.
When did Dr. Johnson go to Niagara Falls?
Yes. Yes.
He went with Livingstone.
Yes.
I presume.
Yes.
He was talking about the Giant's Causeway in Northern Ireland, and he said it was worth seeing, but not worth going to see.
Quite right. Did any of us get a point?
Nobody. Next show, what is it that
combines the maximum of temptation with the maximum of opportunity?
Lots of ideas, but they're none of them relevant to the question.
Right, does anybody else know?
If we had a mystery guest, perhaps they would get it.
We haven't got a mystery guest.
Oh, a panel game with no mystery guest. Hardly a panel game.
Most of them are dead anyway, so it might be wrong.
I was looking forward to meeting the mystery guest.
Does nobody know? Very well-known quotation.
It's very familiar. What is it?
It's very well-known, saying by George Bernard Shaw, that marriage combines the maximum of temptation with the maximum of opportunity. Miriam Stoppard.
It fascinates me. I can sit and look at it for hours. I love to keep it by me. The idea of getting rid of it nearly breaks my heart.
We're all going in for self-contemplation, aren't we? Could it be an animal?
But I'm sure that Tom knows it.
Yes, he always does. That's the story, yes.
It's the definition of a husband.
Oh, it must be the art of writing.
It's the sort of thing you tend to see written up on little plaques on the wall, people's offices.
Oh, graffiti.
No, you know what I mean. It is work. Work fascinates me.
But I mean, he was going to get his points.
Can you tell me where it comes from, Tom?
Jerome K. Jerome.
Yes, why do you know that?
Three men in a boat.
He's made a first script of it. He's adapted the whole thing, been paid to know the answer to that question.
I'm there.
So obviously it works.
Yes.
Well, anyway. Well, finally, Tom, one directed at you.
How different, how very different from the home life of our own dear Queen.
What was going on there?
Well, this was certainly said about Queen Victoria's life by somebody who was abroad at the time and watching something like The Mating Rites of Pygmies or The Rain Dance.
No, no, no.
All right.
Well, I'll have to throw it open to the others.
You have to give me one.
It was certainly about a Shakespeare play.
Exactly.
It's an old lady...
Now, one at a time, please.
Ah, yes.
It's an old lady watching some Shakespeare play. I think it must be Antony and Cleopatra. Yes.
There are various versions, one including that it might have been Sarah Bernhardt playing Cleopatra, and she was rushing around the stage, tearing the drapes off, and this remark was
made. It must have been the same occasion where two well-dressed people approached the manager in the interval, halfway through Antony and Cleopatra, and were heard to say to the manager, "Tell me, is this or is this not Bunty Pulls the Strings?"
There was a lovely Julius Caesar at Stratford I went to once, and I came out at the interval, and there were two lovely American ladies coming out in front of me, and one of them turned to the other and said, "Gee, that Brutus, was he noble?"
Well, at the end of that round, I've given Ned and Richard a mark each for getting half and half of that one. At the end of that round, Tom has 9, Richard has 7, Ned has 6, and Miriam has 2.
I should get Jermaine Greer next time.
Now, this is where we stand the whole game on its head. Often supposedly spontaneous remarks which get into quotation books sound as if they were prepared in advance by armies of speechwriters. In fact, it's difficult to believe they were said at all. So I'm going to ask you, panel, to come up with some more feasible quotations for certain historical characters. And if you, listening at home, have any brighter ideas, I'll be asking you at the end of the programme to send them in. So, Richard Boston, first of all, we all know that when Lord Nelson put the telescope to his blind eye, he's reported to have said,
"I have a right to be blind sometimes. I really do not see the signal."
But was that what he really said?
No, I shouldn't think so. I think he might have said that duty lies in the eye of the beholder, perhaps. Or perhaps... long time no see.
Anyway, you get 2 marks there, Richard. Ned Sherin, I'm sure you're familiar with Oscar Wilde.
Do I look that old?
And what he is reported to have said when going through the New York customs.
"I have nothing to declare except my genius."
But do you think that's what he really said?
Well, you have to get the picture of it first. I think he obviously went through the green channel to match his complexion. And then he saw those rather attractive sort of naval uniforms that U.S. customs officers wear. And he said, "Hello, sailor." Then I think he probably said, "Search me." Then he said, "Give me back my handbag." And I think he probably sort of went away muttering, "Customs are more honoured in the breach than the observance."
I think those are much more convincing. All right, 2 marks for you then, Ned. And Miriam Stoppard, the Duke of Wellington, when he arrived at Waterloo, is reported to have said,
"Up guards and at them again."
But what did the Duke of Wellington say when he arrived at Euston?
Euston Station?
Yes.
Was he allowed to speak in French?
Yes.
Well, casting his eyes around the polystyrene walls at Euston Station, expecting Waterloo, he might have said, I suppose, "C'est magnifique, mais ce n'est pas le gars." Le.
Yes. Any ideas for the rest of you?
Well, I suppose he could have remarked that it's always better to make dukes angry than King's Cross.
Well, Tom, here's the one that's directed particularly at you. When Julius Caesar left England, he wrote,
"Veni, vidi, vici." I came, I saw, I conquered.
I know what it means. That's not my problem.
Was that what he really said?
If I may sort of half steal, I think of him as being a chap who much preferred being in France, and indeed probably spoke French as well, and said, "C'est magnifique, mais ce n'est pas le Gaul."
All right, I'll give you 2 marks for that, Tom Stoppard. Yeah. At the end of that round, I've given you all 2 marks, but in fact, Tom, you're still in the lead by 2 points over Richard Boss. You'll need your buzzers again now to interrupt Ronald Fletcher. Why not? He's got a whole series of quotations all by one person, which he's going to read one after the other. As soon as you think you know who the person is, then give us a buzz. Ronald?
"I'm a showman, and I don't mind admitting it. The country's going down the drain, and they're squabbling about the size of the plug hole. We're all minorities now, some more than others. Greater love has no man than this."
Richard.
Isn't it Jeremy Thorpe?
It is Jeremy Thorpe, yes. 4 marks to you.
I think he said...
"Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his friends for his life.
Richard, why did he say that business about greater love at that
moment? Well, wasn't it after Macmillan had sacked three quarters of his cabinet? In
1962, yes, it was indeed.
1723.
We'll have another one of those. All quotations by one person. Press your button when you think you know.
How do people go to sleep? I might repeat to myself slowly and soothingly a list of quotations from Minds Profound, if I can remember any of the damn things. Three highballs, and I think I'm St. Francis of Assisi. The affair between Margot Asquith and Margot Asquith will live as one of the prettiest love stories in all literature. She ran the whole gamut of her emotions.
Right, now the buzz first.
I stop that. I can continue. She ran the whole gamut of emotions from A to B.
That's my job.
It's Dorothy Parker talking about Catherine Hepburn in that case. But the best bit of quotation comes after that, because she goes on to describe the performance of a very good middle-aged character actress who was also in the play. And she goes on to say that Miss Hepburn kept well upstage out of the way of the good actress in case she might catch acting from her.
Well, on to another round now. This is where we really sink you. We have some quotations from song lyrics, and we'd like you to place them for us. To make it just that little bit more difficult, we're playing foreign language versions of songs. I'd like an English translation, sing it if you will, and also can you tell me what the language is on the record? Richard Boston, for you.
Mama, car est-ce des cheveux, presque malgré moi, comme d'habitude, mais toi, tu me tournes le dos.
Well, it's foreign,
is it My Way?
It is indeed My Way.
Presumably that was French, isn't
yes.
It? Yes. Very much like French.
Comme d'habitude is the French yes. Version of My Way. Two marks. For you, Ned Sheeran?
Something like Silent Night, Holy Night.
Yes, yes. All right, I'll give you that. But what was the language?
It's not Abyssinian.
It's not Abyssinian. It's very near, or perhaps not.
It's not German, either. I've no idea what language it was.
All right, I'll give you one mark for getting it right, but the language, in fact, was Icelandic.
Ah, yes. Yes, we need Magnus Magnusson. Bring back Magnus Magnusson. Perhaps he'll be the mystery guest next week.
Miriam, if you don't get this one, I'll ask you to sing it in Icelandic.
She loves you, yeah, yeah.
Brilliant translation. What was the language it was being sung?
In German, I
think. Yes. Sie liebt dich, sung by the Beatles. Finally, for you, Tom Stoppard, nobody is going to claim this as an exact translation, but what is it? Right, I want you to sing that, Tom, in English, please.
Well, this is, in fact, good golly, Miss Molly played at the wrong speed. I think it's Land of Hope and Glory.
It is.
I don't know, Sobo Croat.
No, I have said it was Dutch. Tom, I'll give you one mark for getting to the actual song. I know that wasn't very difficult. And at the end of that round, Richard is still in the lead with 15, Ned has 13, Tom has 12, and Miriam has 6.
Did you say I'd lost my lead?
No. Yes, you have.
Yes.
Right. Right, Richard.
No more Mr. Nice Guy.
Perhaps Miriam will be able to get her own back now. Some rather catty remarks made about famous people. I want to know about whom they were made and try telling me who said them to. Richard Boston, about whom was it said
he rose without trace?
Ah, yes, it was about, of course, David Frost.
Yes.
It was said, well, I've heard it attributed to two people, actually. Mrs. Muggeridge.
Yes.
Was by Kitty Muggeridge.
That's the one I have down here.
And, well, that'll do then.
All right, you get two marks.
Yes, I'll...
Well, Ned, about whom was it said that he was...
mad, bad, and dangerous to know?
Lord Byron.
Mm, it was. By whom?
Lady Caroline Lamb.
Yes.
Sarah Miles. Burt Reynolds. And play word associations with that.
Two marks. Miriam Stoppard. About whom was it said...
he is not only a bore, but he bores for England.
Crashing bore.
I guess it's Churchill saying it about someone. I like his remark about Ian Mikado, who's not the prettiest of men. Churchill said, that man is not as nice as he looks.
In fact, the quote which you, none of you seems to have got, was about Sir Anthony Eden, said by Muggeridge. Tom Stoppard, about whom was it said...
he looks like the guy in a science fiction movie who's the first one to see the creature.
I won't expect you to get who said it, but who was it about?
Sorry, give up.
Richard Nixon?
Oh, it's Ford. It's Ford.
Yes. All right, Tom, I'll give you your
who
two
said
marks.
It
was
said
about
it?
President Ford by an American television impresario called David Fry. Can you think of any other descriptions of President Ford that there have been? He seems to have
attracted... there have been lots. I mean, most of them turn out to have probably been exaggerations, but it was said of him that...
he found it very difficult to walk and talk at the same time.
And chew gum.
And chew gum, yes.
Lyndon Johnson.
And he couldn't find the seat of his pants using both hands. But, I think a certain amount of political jealousy.
But he's doing a wonderful job now.
Wonderful,
and I
wonderful.
Have full confidence that the ship of state will sail forward in his grasp.
Right, at the end of that round, Richard Boston is still in the lead, with Ned Sherrin still second, Tom third, and Miriam fourth. Well, now, as we near the end of the quiz, a chance for you, pal, to come up with quotations which aren't in any quotation book, but perhaps ought to be. Can you tell me what happened in these unlikely situations? Richard Boston, if Mark Antony had been present when Cleopatra resorted to the asp, what might he have said?
Oh, he was present, of course. He was present, yes. And he made quite a long speech, I think, on the occasion. He, talked a bit about the difficulty of getting good serpents nowadays. But then he said, and it was reported in The Guardian at the time, in fact, and Gracie Fields later put it to music, it's the biggest asp disaster in the world.
Well, of course, the correct answer to that is... The correct answer to that is, I see you've got a bit on the side.
Ned Sherrin, when Salome came to Herod without John the Baptist's head on a platter, what did she say?
It's very difficult. It's an historical one. One has... John the Baptist's head on the platter. Brains are off.
That's a joke of rather bad taste, in my opinion.
Or indeed, heads are off, yeah. Tom, have you got some more?
I can't think of anything that he would have said. I think that before Salome came on, somebody else came on with an empty platter, and there's this awful sort of altercation which ended with the servant saying, oh, I thought you said salami.
Miriam, I want your own version of what King John said when he lost all his jewels in the wash.
Oh, you must remember that he was used to having jewels. He had an awful lot about. He just said, they'll all come out in the wash.
King John actually said, once more into the bleach, dear friend.
Thank you, Ronald, for the proper version. Tom, a bizarre confrontation for you. If Toulouse-Lautrec had encountered Mae West, what would she have said to him?
There was a lot of banter going on then. There was all kinds of things about may we know May West and may we in certainly May and come down and see my etchings. Get up and see me sometime. I think the nub of the conversation was that he, I translate literally from the French, said, I have 3 feet 8 inches. And she said, never mind about the 3 feet, let's talk about the 8 inches.
Can I ask you to top that?
I don't get that one, actually. I haven't got to it yet.
Right, at the end of that round and at the end of the quiz, I'm happy to tell you that Richard and Ned have each got 19, Tom has 18, and Miriam 10. So Richard and Ned have the most quotation marks. Let me just remind you that if, listening at home, you think you can improve on any of the quotations by the panel, then drop me a line at quote-unquote, BBC Broadcasting House, London, W1A1AA. Meanwhile, I'll leave you with this quotation from Chico Marx. When his wife caught him kissing a chorus girl, he said, "But I wasn't kissing her. You see, I was whispering in her mouth." Goodbye.
Appearing this week in Quote, Unquote, were Richard Boston, Miriam Stoppard, Tom Stoppard and Ned Sherin. The quotations were read by Ronald Fletcher. The quiz was devised and introduced by Nigel Rees and produced by John Lloyd.